This is the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast.
Hey, I'm honored you join us again for another episode of the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast. We are crazy passionate about investing in leaders because when the leader gets better, everyone gets better. If you are new with us, we'll do this one time every single month. We'll release a brand new podcast on the first Thursday of each month. And I want to just say thank you so much to those of you that are sharing it on social media. I really appreciate you helping get the word out. And also thank you for those of you who would rate or review this on iTunes. It actually makes a really big difference when you do it. And so I just wanted to say thank you. I do love hearing from you. You can email me anytime, ask questions, make suggestions of topics you want to hear about. You can email me at leadership@life.church. And the notes are available as well. If you want to just let us know you want the notes, we'll email those to you before each podcast releases, and you can follow along that way. And here's what we're going to do. Each time, I like to answer a couple of questions that you all send in. Then we're going to get to the heart of our teaching, and we're going to talk about something very important about hiring and recruiting. How do you identify and bring on the best people in your organization? We're going to talk about part one today, and then next month, we're going to talk about part two. Then at the end of the time, I'm going to review just to help drive the teaching in and then give you a couple of assignments that will be really important to prepare you for the topic in teaching next month. So let's dive into questions. We're going to start off with one from Casey, and I thought this was a good question. Casey asked this. Casey said, I have a number of team members who essentially need their hand held throughout a project. So how do I delegate to these staff members? So you've got some team members that really need a lot of supervision. How do you delegate to them? So I see three possible options, Casey. Number one is perhaps you may need to be more clear up front on exactly what's expected. If you're always having to hold their hands, it may be because they really don't understand exactly what's expected. And so you might want to ask yourself, am I being crystal clear on the desired outcome? Second option might be this. You might actually need more grace as your team members grow. In other words, for your team to improve, you might need to allow them to actually fail. And this isn't easy. It's kind of like a parent when your kid comes and says at 9 o'clock at night, you know, can you help me on my homework for tomorrow? You know you can and you may want to, but actually the best thing to do is to let your child face the consequences of not being prepared. And that may be the case. You may need to allow your team members not to completely succeed one time so that they do improve and get better over time. So you may need to have a little grace as they're growing. Third option, Casey, is this. You might actually need to upgrade your team. And I know that sounds harsh, but let's talk about it. If you've been clear on the expectations, if you've given them grace, if you've given them every resource they need to be successful, and yet they continue to miss the mark, then you might actually have the wrong people in those roles. I've said this before, but if over and over and over again, your people don't get it right, then eventually your people are no longer the problem. At that point, you actually become the problem. So great question, Casey. Let's deal with Bryant. Bryant asked this, how do you give confidence to those who are still new on the journey and kindly remind long haulers that they aren't always the smartest people in the room with all the answers? So I think, Bryant, what you're saying is, how do you empower new team members and at the same time get value from the veterans but not let them think they know it all? And what we want to do, and this is really important, is we want to just over and over again help our team members understand that every player adds value, but not every player adds equal value. A new team member has different value than a veteran. For example, a veteran has the gift of wisdom, and there is no way, it doesn't matter how talented a player is, there is no shortcut to achieving wisdom. And so time in an organization tends to equal wisdom. On the other hand, Andy Stanley says this, he says, time in erodes awareness of. Time in an organization tends to erode awareness of what's going on. In other words, the longer you're in an organization, you tend to stop seeing the problems and just accept them. And that's where a new team member can be so incredibly valuable. And so you want to tell your new team members, man, you are really, really valuable in the early days because you'll never be more objective than you are now. In fact, I tell our new team members often that the first 90 days on the team is when you're going to be most objective before you start accepting things as they are. So what we want to do is we want them to know every team member adds value. We're going to learn from the veterans' wisdom. We're going to learn from the rookies' fresh perspective. And together, everyone gets better. All right, let's dive into this week's theme. And I want to talk to you about hiring. How do you hire great people? What's crazy to me is this. I had got a business major. I was a business major in college. Then I received a master's of divinity, basically a 3-hour master's degree to help prepare me to be a pastor. And I didn't have one single class anywhere that talked about hiring. And yet, the people in our organizations represent the future and the possible strength. In fact, one of the most important skills you can develop will be identifying, empowering, and developing the right people. Let me say it again. One of the most important skills you can develop will be identifying, empowering, and developing the right people. In fact, a key thought is this. The potential of your organization rests on the strength of its people. The potential of your organization rests on the strength of its people. In fact, in the book Creativity Inc., a book that I really enjoyed, the author asked the question, and they would pose this question to big groups and ask, would you rather have the best product or great people? Would you rather have the best idea or great people? And what's interesting is the crowds were generally split. Well, if we had the best product, you know, it's half the people said we want that. And the answer is crystal clear. You always, 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 always want the best people. If you have the best people will come up with the best product. The best people will have the best ideas. The potential of your organization rests on the strength of its people. If you don't have the best people, you're always going to be limited. I love Jim Collins' quote. Jim Collins says this, people are not just your most important asset. The right people are your most important asset. Give you a little bit of example. In our church actually meets in 26 different locations as of right now in 8 different states. And so whenever someone comes in and visits and says, all right, now what's the key to doing church in multiple sites? Here's what they almost always ask. They ask, well, is it the location, you know, of the buildings? Is it the technology? Is it the pastoral care, the way you take care of people? Is it the systems? And I tell them all the time, the key is the right people. The key is the right people. Why? The right people find the right locations. The right people bring the right systems. The right people care for people. It's always about the right people. Zig Ziglar says this. He says, you don't build a business, you build people. Then people build the business. You don't build a business, you build people. Then people build the business. Now, some of you are going to say or think in your organization, perhaps you're a startup, you're just getting going, or you're not a big organization, you might think, well, we can't get the best people. We can't pay enough. We don't have the benefits or whatever. This is really important. You don't need a large and successful organization to attract great people. You need a vision worth following. Let me say it again. Embrace it and believe it. You don't need a large and successful organization to attract great people. You need a vision worth following. Principles of hiring. We're going to talk about 4. Let's talk about 2 this month and 2 next month. How do we hire and onboard the best people? Number 1, begin with the end in mind. Begin with the end in mind. This may sound obvious, but so many people overlook this. What do you want the person to do and oversee? Not just what do I want you to do, but what I want you to oversee and what are the outcomes that I want from you in this role? So we're going to write a job description, and we're not just going to put duties, but we're going to put oversight and desired outcome. Not just what you do, but what do you oversee and what are the desired outcomes? What does this do? This helps us become crystal clear on the type of person that we want. You may write this down. A general idea of what you want doesn't help you fill a specific role. A general idea of what you want doesn't help you fill a specific role. The clearer you are on what you want, the easier it is to spot it when you see it. So in your organization, you're going to want to use some different type of personality identifier. At our organization, we use Myers-Briggs, and some of you will be aware of that, some of you won't. I recently added an assistant to my team. And since I'm a crazy thinker, and on Myers-Briggs, you contrast thinking versus feeling, I'm a 10 thinker, I'm a 0 feeler. So for me, I need an assistant that's a feeler, that softens me, helps balance me. At the same time, there's the contrast between J and P. Judging is an organized person. P is more flexible, open-ended. I have to have a J. So immediately I know I need an F and a J. I need a feeler and someone who's very organized. What that does is that eliminates half the people before we even look to move on. We're identifying specifically the type of person that we want. So begin with the end in mind. And also what I want to encourage you to do is hire for the future, not just for the present. Let me say it again. Hire for the future, not just for the present. In other words, if you're a church that has 120 people in your student program, but there's a lot of momentum, you want to ask yourself, can this leader be effective if there's 250 students coming? We're not just filling the job that's necessary today, but we're filling a role with a person that has the capacity to grow tomorrow. If you have a sales team and you're just have some people hitting the local market, but you know it's going to go regional, does this person have the capacity to go regional? Don't just hire for the present, hire for the future. Let me take a brief moment and talk to church leaders, because I know a lot of you are church leaders. I would advise you, whenever possible, to hire from within your church more than looking outside your church. I love to hire great business people who are faithful spiritually from within the church membership, and I'll tell you why. Because you can teach skills, but it's really hard to impart values. When you have people within your church that have the same values, you can teach them to do certain things, and it's a lot lower risk than bringing someone in from the outside. Now, there would be an exception to this, and that is if you don't like the culture of your church. If you don't like the culture, then you most likely won't want to hire from the inside. You'll probably want to bring somebody in from the outside because you want some external force to help you change the culture. The same would be true in any kind of business. Whenever possible, I would recommend you hire and you promote from within. Promote from within those who already understand the culture. It's so difficult to bring an outsider into a top-level position. Promote from within as often as you can. Begin with the end in mind. Here's a job description, not just what they're going to do, but what they're going to oversee and the outcomes that we desire. We know the personality type. When we're really clear on the type of person that we want, it makes it easier to identify them when they see them. The second point, and I'm going to camp out here for a while, is this. Be ruthlessly selective. Be ruthlessly selective. Begin with the end in mind and be ruthlessly selective. The best time to fire is before you hire. The best time to fire someone is to not hire them at all. And I'm going to tell you all day long that no hire is better than a bad hire. No hire is always better than a bad hire. The cost of hiring a bad team member is greater than the cost of missing a good one. In fact, if you're building an organization, you have to embrace this, that wrong hires early make it more difficult for great hires later. If you have the wrong people on your team early on, then when you're interviewing and trying to recruit great people later on, they're going to look and say, I don't really want to be a part of this team. You have to get it right early. Wrong hires early make it so much more difficult to get great hires later. Now, some of you are going to see someone who's amazing and great and think, well, they're too expensive. If you think that someone is expensive when you hire someone who's great, wait until you hire someone who's bad. When you hire a weak player, a divisive player, a troubled player, you don't know expensive until you make a bad hire. At our organization, we've been told that we have one of the most rigorous hiring programs around. In fact, some people call it like borderline hazing. And we're actually a little bit proud of that because we believe in what we're doing and we want to do everything we can to be ruthlessly selective. In fact, when we talk about beginning with the end in mind and being selective, I want to quote several leaders that I respect. And I want you to notice how specific they are on the types of people that they want in their organization. I'm going to quote Bill Hybels, Warren Buffett, Patrick Lencioni, and Brad Lominick. And listen to what they're looking for. Bill Hybels says in Courageous Leadership, he says, hire for character, competency, and chemistry. Character, what do they stand for? Competency, do they have the skills and the tools to get the job done? Chemistry, do I like this person? And let me tell you, chemistry, do not ever underestimate the value of chemistry. You may have someone who, yes, they've got great character, yes, they've got amazing skills, but if you don't like them and you have to work with them, don't make the hire. Chemistry matters. Character, competency, and chemistry. Warren Buffett says this: when hiring, look for integrity, intelligence, and energy. Without the first one, he says, the other two will kill you. Without integrity, intelligence and energy will kill you. Patrick Lencioni, in the book, The Ideal Team Player, he says, I want people who are hungry, humble, and smart. And by smart, he doesn't just mean intellectually smart, he means relationally smart. Hungry, humble, and smart. Brad Lominick in H3 Leadership says, I want people who are humble, hungry, and those who have hustle. You come up with your own standards. Begin with the end in mind, say this is what we need, and be ruthlessly selective. There's two times you never ever want to settle in life. Do not settle when marrying someone, and do not settle when hiring someone. Be ruthlessly selective. A rule, and this is really important, never hire out of desperation. Please listen to me. I'm begging you. I've made this mistake so many times. Don't hire when you're desperate. You'll learn it the hard way if you don't listen to me. What's going to happen is at some point you're going to need help. You're going to be exhausted. You're going to feel like you can't make it another day. At that point, you're incredibly vulnerable to making a bad hire. One of my first hires, I was interviewing a person and he was like, well, I don't really like people. My wife said, I don't have a good feeling. I'm like, well, I'm desperate. And I hired this person and it took literally a long time to undo this mistake. Never, ever hire out of desperation. Here's a note, and put this in the front of your mind. Be really careful anytime you're trying to talk yourself into hiring someone. Anytime you're trying to talk yourself into it, you need to ask yourself, why in the world am I trying to talk yourself into it? It's not that you won't, you know, you'll never be 100% sure because it's always a risk. But if you're trying to say, here's why, yeah, maybe because, and you know, this, and it might work, and if this, and if you're trying to talk yourself into it, I would try to talk you out of it. You want to go into it when you have strong confidence you're bringing in the right people. If you see something that concerns you, dig in. Any small red flag in the interview process is worth diving into it, digging deeper, digging deeper, digging deeper. If the right person isn't there, it's not time. Don't make a bad hire. If the right person isn't there, it is not time. You can have the best product, the best vision, the best strategy. Without the best people, you're going to be limited. Let's review all the way through. Big review. You don't build a business, you build people. Then the people build the business. Zig Ziglar, how do we do it? Begin with the end in mind. Be clear on the type of person you want. A general idea doesn't help you fulfill a specific role. The clearer you are on what you want, the easier it will be to spot it when you see it. Begin with the end in mind. Hire for the future, not just the present. Number two, be ruthlessly selective. The best time to fire is before you hire. No hire is better than a bad hire. The cost of hiring a bad team member is greater than the cost of missing a good one. Wrong hires early make it more difficult for great hires later. If you think for a moment that it's expensive to hire someone great, wait until you hire someone bad. Why are we going to be so rigorous? Because we believe in the mission of what we're doing, and we will not settle for anything less than the best people. We select, identify, develop, and empower and set people free to do what people do. They lead toward the desired result. We never, ever hire out of desperation. If the right person isn't there, it is not time. This is the foundation. In the next episode, we're going to get really, really practical on the hows of hiring. To be ready for it, I'm going to ask you to do two things that are really important. Number one, I'm going to ask you, if you haven't already done this, to define your core values. What do you stand for in your organization? Because what you value determines what you do. What you value determines how your team behaves. Values create culture. And before you add to your team, you want to be clear on what you value. If you want a little bit of extra coaching on this, you can go to episodes 5 and 6, where I talk about creating a value-driven culture. In episodes 5 and 6, there's some teaching there. Number one, define your core values. Number two, list your top behavioral values. Not just core values, but behavioral values. This isn't what we believe, but this is how we behave. How do you identify your top behavioral values? Well, I would encourage you to look at your top 5 performers, or your top 5 volunteers, or the people that you really say, hey, these people perform in the way that we want to perform. Look at them and ask yourself, what qualities do they have in common? And you might write down they're driven, or they're creative, or they're fun, or they're passionate, or they're flexible, or they're focused, or whatever. And you want to come up with 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 values that are consistent in how people behave. If you have those two things ready for our next episode, that will really make it even more valuable next month, core values and behavioral values. I can't wait to share next episode with you. It is really practical. I think it will make a difference. Thank you again for rating or reviewing these episodes. Thank you for sharing on social media. And thank you for investing 20 or 25 minutes with me a month. I promise to value your time and try to bring content that's helpful, because when the leader gets better, everybody gets better. Remember, be yourself as a leader. Bring your game. People would rather follow a leader who's always real than one who's always right.
Thanks for joining us at the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast. For access to show notes or resources, just go to www.life.church/leadership podcast. And if you enjoyed the episode, please show your support by subscribing and rating the podcast on iTunes. As many of you know, Craig is the pastor of Life Church, a multi-site church meeting across the United States and across the world at Church Online. We would love it if you and your family would join us for Easter starting April 14th. You can go to www.life.church/Easter for locations and times. Until next time, thanks for joining us at the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast.